So what is breakthrough? Breakthrough is God's miraculous intervention, friends, in the affairs, in the situations of our lives, when we require that the Lord would divinely, supernaturally intervene in our lives. That's what breakthrough is. It is a sudden divine intervention. Please underline sudden. Breakthrough is sudden. It's a sudden, it's a divine, sudden intervention. It is a manifestation of God's power. It is the showing, the manifestation of God's power. That's what breakthrough is. It is a manifestation of God's power invading our world, invading our stubborn, our impossible situations. How many people here have got stubborn situations that don't want to shake, that don't want to move? Then you are the right candidate for God's miraculous intervention in the form of a breakthrough. Oh, hallelujah. Every so often we come across, we are human beings, we live in this world, we come across difficult circumstances, we face insurmountable, seemingly insurmountable problems and situations that are beyond human control. When something is beyond human control, it means it is there, it is existing, it is real, but there is nothing that we can do about it. Have you been there? At least if you haven't been there, you know someone who's been there. When something is real, it's there, but there is nothing that we can do about it, right? There doesn't seem to be somebody who's got the solution for it. There doesn't seem to be somebody who's got the answer for it. It is in these times, friends, in these times and instances that cause us to turn to the Lord and seek His face when we're experiencing situations. You know, people of God are going through serious, dire things, circumstances, and situations. And some of us are ignorant of it because they are quiet about it, because they are not sharing them with us. This is the fact, it's the reality. You don't know the homes where people are coming from right now, how their homes look like, what they have, what they don't have, what they're experiencing there. Some people are sitting here today, it's by the grace of God that they are still alive. You don't know what they are going through physically. You don't know what they are going through health-wise. And because they are not saying anything, they are quiet about it, we tend to be ignorant of what people are passing through. And God forbid that even ourselves, we would be ignorant of our own circumstances, our own situations. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go through things that only the Lord can help us, because no human can help us. But the Lord, friends, has intervened and given breakthroughs in the lives of men since the dawn of time. Since the beginning of time, if there is God, you know there are miracles. If there is God, you know there are breakthroughs. If there is God, you know there are wonders. If there is God, you know there is one who's got the ability to do things that none of us can do, to do things that cannot be done by any of the people, of the beings of this world. If you don't believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, then you are not a believer. If you don't believe in God's miracles, signs, and wonders, then you are not a Christian. You are not a Christian, and you may well be a Christian, but not a believer. You know, there are Christians who are not born again. Let's not forget that. And since Christianity has become a form of religion, so there are many people who are calling themselves Christians, but they are just religious people, because Christianity these days has become a form of religion. If there is a God and you believe in a God, then you know that there are miracle signs and wonders, and you believe in His miracle signs and wonders. We serve a God like that. And the Lord, He says in John chapter number 5 and verse number 17. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking in John chapter number 5 and verse number 17. He says, "My Father has been working until now. He has never ceased working, and I too am working." He has never ceased He has never ceased working. He has never ceased to work miracles, signs, and wonders. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ announced. He says, my Father has been working. He has never ceased working miracles, signs, and wonders. And I too am doing exactly the same thing. He never told us that God has rested from working out miracles, signs, and wonders. God did rest from creating the earth. He did rest from making us. But God, he never ceased, never rested from working out miracle signs and wonders. I'm going to say this again. If you don't believe in miracle signs and wonders, you're not a believer. You're not a born-again Christian. You're not a born-again Christian. The Lord has not stopped, friends, working miracles and breakthroughs for his people. Am I talking to somebody? He has never stopped working miracles and breakthroughs for his people. Are you his people? Are we his people? Do you belong to God? Then you know that the Lord, if you belong to the Lord, you know he has not ceased. Hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped. The miracles and the breakthroughs from heaven, they haven't ceased. They never indeed ceased. The age of miracles and breakthroughs is not over. That age has not come and gone. That age is not over. Right? As long as this earth remains, we know that there is a God and his works have not ceased. They are not over. He has promised us that he would never leave us. We know this. God has promised us that he would never leave us, that he would never forsake us. If the God of miracles, the God of breakthroughs will never leave us nor forsake us, then we know that miracles and breakthroughs have not ceased because he said, I will never leave you. Did God say he was going to go? He didn't. He says he will never leave nor forsake us. And who works out miracles, signs, and wonders for us, who gives us divine interventions in our circumstances, in our situations, is the very same God who has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Everybody okay today? Are you hearing me clearly? Oh, praise God for that. Praise God for that. We are talking about breakthrough today. In fact, it is breakthroughs. Friends, the God who delivers his people has never left. The God who delivers by a mighty hand, he is still among us. The God who saves through the fire is alive in our midst. The God who saves through the fire, not from the fire. Sometimes he will save you through and not from. The God who saves through the fire is alive in our midst. The God who closes the mouths of lions is here today. I say the God who closes the mouths of lions, he is very much present here and today. The God of compassion who feeds the hungry, who heals the sick, who raises the dead, who causes the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, he is right here, right now. And this is what he is saying to all of us, and this is what he continues to say to all of his people. He has never stopped saying this. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Christians, today we live as though we serve a God who is powerless. We live as though we serve a God whose hand is short. We live as though we serve a God who is unable. We live as though we serve a God who is incapable. It is not like that, friends. It is not like that at all. Now, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The Lord says, come to me. Come to me. Not come tomorrow, not come yesterday. Come to me now. It's an open invite. This is the God who works miracles, signs, and wonders. This is the God who gives us breakthroughs. This is the God who comes through for us in our impossible situations. This is the God with whom there is nothing impossible. This is the God who says, come. All right? He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, who labor. There are a lot of things that are hard, that are difficult. There are a lot of things that are placed upon our shoulders. Can I say this? Even a sickness is something that is hard and heavy. debt is hard and heavy. All right? Worries of life, concerns of life, these things are hard and heavy. And the Lord says, I know and I understand. This is why I'm calling you to come to me. All you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is beautiful beyond measure. Beautiful. Rest for your soul. When your mind is absolutely at peace and at rest. What does that mean? I am not worried about what I have or what I do not have. I'm not worried about my expenses of today, my expenses of tomorrow. That is peace. I'm not worried about my bills come month end. I'm not worried about my bills. Now that is rest he's talking about. When you are surrounded by threats, when threats are issued against you, and you are not worried. You're not worried. You don't take it to yourself. It does not become a burden. You don't become heavy laden. He's promising an exchange. He says, you give it to me, I'll take it from you. But I'll only take it if you want me to take it from you. I'll take it only if you give it to me. What is it that we are facing through? What is the predicament, the problem, the crisis that we are going through? Now he says, you can either keep it or you can give it to me. And it's amazing. We are not the ones who are making the invite. It is God who is making the invite. He's the one who says, come to me. You come. I'm ready. My hands, my arms are open to receive you. With me, there is nothing that is impossible. Nothing that is impossible. You know, friends, if we really lived our Christianity the way that we ought to live it, I'm telling you, the world would be rushing to us. We serve a God with whom nothing is impossible. Imagine that. Imagine that. And if that was truly manifesting in our lives, we would evangelize the world without saying anything. Without doing anything, they will just look at us. We will just say to the world, just look at me. Just look at me. You know? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There it comes, rest for your souls. Rest. Not to be worried about a lot of things, but find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, our souls become restless, become heavy, become burdened, right? When we are worried, when we are troubled, when we are unfulfilled, when we are dissatisfied, when we have unmet needs, unmet expectations, our souls become restless. When we have unrealized dreams, when we are sick, when we are in debt, when we are unsure of the future, there is no rest. There are a lot of people who are sitting here listening to me. They are so unsure about the future, and they know this is one of the things that wake them up in the middle of the night. Sleep just disappears when they begin to think about the future, when they begin to think about the children, when they begin to think about what is going to become of their children, when they begin to think about what are they going to leave for their children in the future. See, these are the things that the Lord is talking about, but he's saying, I'm the one inviting you. Now, he cannot invite you when he's got nothing to offer. He's inviting us to come because he's got everything to offer. Everything and more that we are looking for, God says, come, I've got it for you. I have it for you. This is the God of miracles and breakthroughs who says, come and I will help you. The God who split the Red Sea and he worked great signs in the land of Egypt is still wanting to work great works in our lives. He worked great works in the land of Egypt. He is still wanting to work great works in our lives. Can I say something up in here, friends? You see, it doesn't please God to work physical miracles than it is for God wanting to work a work in our lives. He wants to work it in our lives. He wants to help us as his people, as his children. How would he be a caring God if when we are stuck in situations, he doesn't come to help us? How would he be a caring God? Now, my question is this, second question, then if your God is a caring God, why hasn't he come through for you? Unless, of course, you know what he has told you. Unless, of course, you know that he is coming through. How would he be a caring God if he was not helping us out of our situations? How would he be a God of compassion if he was not helping us out of our situations? But there is a condition. What is the condition? He says, you come. If indeed we have gone, if indeed we have answered the invite, and we know that with God there is no failure. There is no way God can invite to come and then God, he does not come through for us. I say there is no way that God can invite to come and God doesn't do anything about our situations. He's calling us to come because he knows what is God for us, what is God to offer us. People of God, the God of breakthroughs, the God of miracles, is not dead. That's breaking news for some Christians in here. That's breaking news for some complaining Christians in here. That's breaking news for some giving up Christians in here. It's breaking news for some Christians who have already given up hope. He's not dead. He's not dead. He doesn't die. He cannot die. Breakthroughs, miracles, and wonders have not ceased because the Lord still is. The Lord still is. Miracles, signs, wonders haven't ceased because the Lord still is. He says in the word, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and God still is. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and God still is. So you know, he hasn't died. And God, who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, that's why you're talking about breakthroughs. He rewards. Breakthroughs, miracles, and signs, he rewards. Those that seek him, those that come to him and seek him diligently. Breakthrough, friends, is divine. It is big. It is decisive. It is sudden. A breakthrough is divine. A breakthrough is huge. A breakthrough is decisive. A breakthrough is sudden. When you talk about breakthrough, you talk about something that is divine and sudden. That when God comes through for you, you know he has come through for you. It is that big and that sudden. Oh, how we need sudden breakthroughs and miracles and wonders in our circumstances. Glory to God. We need this God who is still alive, who's not dead. The God who has never left is still here. The God who is still in our midst, and better still, he is in us. The Bible says he's not far. He is near. He is not far. Our lives, honestly, should be testimonies of breakthroughs, testimonies of miracles, testimonies of wonders, testimonies of the great power of God. That's what our lives should be. But if you're not believing for these things, if you're not believing God in this way, believing God for these things, how can they manifest? Breakthrough is a manifestation of God's power. How does God manifest his power? Except in us, except through us, except by us, except over us, except for us. How does he? How does he? I mean, so we need to be really serious about the issue of God manifesting in our midst, about us manifesting him. I say about us manifesting him. And we know when we say us manifesting him, we are saying God manifesting himself on our behalf. God manifesting himself on our behalf. When things that they say azenzeke bantwini, but with us begin to happen. When people say something like this has never happened before, but you give a different story, you give a different experience, you give a different testimony. When people say, we have never seen such. Such has never been done, not in this school, not in this company, not in this job, not here. It has never been done, but for you, because you serve a God who's alive. When doctors look at you and say there is no medical precedence, what has happened with you, there is no medical precedence. when they invite you for interviews, they say, can we please, we want to make you a subject lesson. We want people to learn from your situation because there is no medical precedent, and not only in this region, not only in this country, but all over the world. This is what we are talking about. It is big. It is big. God is a big God. What it does is really huge. It's really big, friends. This is the God that we ought to be manifesting. This is the God who is waiting on us in order for him to manifest on our behalf, but is waiting for us to come. He's issued an invite. He has issued an invite. There is nothing that God is not in control of. There is nothing. Even time, you don't have to go through the same time that everyone goes through, because everything is subject under God's control. When they say it takes, when they tell you that it takes 3 years for a business to begin to make profit, you say, no, but me, I'm looking unto God for profit. There is nothing that God is not in control of. There is nothing that God is not in charge of. All right, we're not going to go according to the ways of this world. We're not going to go according to how this world is structured. All right, no, because God does not go according to how this world is structured. If he did, then he would not, whatever he does would not be a miracle. It would not be a wonder. Why? Because it's common, it's ordinary, it's conventional. It's common, ordinary, conventional. You can't possibly call that a miracle. You can't possibly call that a wonder. No, you cannot, friends. We're going to seem crazy. We're going to sound crazy. We're going to look crazy when we begin to believe God. Because everything the world will say, one thing, but what God will say to you in his word, through his spirit and through his children, it will be something that is the total opposite of it. A total opposite of it. A total opposite of it. How do you like to meet someone when they say, this person does not meet people down there? And people will look at you and say, you are the first one. Can you see that? This is what it means to be the head and not the tail. When people say, you are the first one, you open the door. That's what a miracle is. A door that suddenly opens. I say a miracle is a door that is shut, that is closed, and it could have been like that for a very long time, a considerably long time, but suddenly it opens and nobody knows how it happened. These are the kind of things that give glory to God. These are the kind of things that even unbelievers want to hear, and when they hear them, they cannot argue with evidence. I say unbelievers, when they hear these kind of things, they cannot argue with evidence, because it's evidence presenting itself to them. But the Lord, we have said, come, is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to take him at his word. Take him at his word and be deliberate about it. 1 Kings 17 and 1 Kings 18. We thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Kings 17 and 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. 1 Kings 18, 1 and 2. 1 Kings 18 verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, 1 Kings 18, verses 1 and 2, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was severe famine in Samaria. There was a famine, not just a famine, it was severe. Verses 41 to 43. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab, he went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. There is nothing. there is nothing, no breakthrough, no intervention. There is no hope in sight. There is nothing. Elijah was faced with a situation where nothing was happening in this time where we meet him in this context, where there was absolutely nothing happening, nothing coming. Have you been in a situation where you are full of expectations, but there is nothing? You are full of expectations. You are full of expectations, but there is nothing. And what do majority of us do? We accept it. We accept the status quo. At this point, Elijah should have said, there is nothing, let's wait on God. God knows best. I say at this point, if Elijah the prophet was like a lot of us Christians of today, we would have said, there is nothing, let us leave it, let us go, let us leave it unto God, because God knows best. And you see how sleek we are with our tongues. Our language. And we leave it all to God. So he went and he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. He refused to accept the nothing. I say he refused to accept the nothing. Elijah refused to accept the nothing. He did not say to the servant, my son, let us go and leave this thing unto God. God knows. We're living in the generation of the Christians who say God knows best because they're lazy to believe him. They are lazy to believe him for anything. They are lazy to believe him for breakthroughs, for miracles, for signs. They say, let us leave it to God. God knows best. You think Elijah didn't know that? But he refused to accept nothing. Oh, glory to God. He refused to accept nothing. Friends, there was a famine, a severe famine in the land. A very difficult situation had occurred. A very difficult situation. Like our lives, we go sometimes through a period, through cycles of very, very difficult situations. Something had happened here in the land of Samaria for 3.5 years, something that the arm of man could not do anything about it. No arm of man could do anything about it. Let me say this. If you are looking for 300,000 rands this month, maybe in the next 2 weeks, maybe in the next day, who can give it to you? Because everybody that you turn to, they tell you they don't have anything. Hey, everybody you turn to, they tell you they don't even have 50 bucks. You see what I'm talking about? Something that the arm of man cannot do. This needed God's immediate attention and intervention. This needed God's immediate. You know, there are situations that are immediate. It needed God's immediate attention and intervention. But we are people that have believed that there is nothing immediate with God. Oh, but you're forgetting that God lives in heaven. I live on earth. There is immediacy on earth. There are things. I am governed by time on earth. God is not governed by time anywhere. But I am governed by time here. Hey, come on. My landlord is looking for something from me at month end. I am governed by time. There are things that are immediate for me here on earth. And we think God does not know that. Of course he does. There are things that are due come month end. There are things that are due come the 25th, come the 15th, or whatever the date may be. That is immediate situation. I say that's immediate situation. This man of God was caught up in this kind of circumstances. He was desperate. He knew how bad the situation that he was in was. And I think this is important. This is key to analyze, to suss out, to evaluate your situation, to know how dire, how desperate, how bad your situation is. Because sometimes we don't know that. We just go with ignorance. Elijah was desperate for an answer from the Lord. He was desperate for God's intervention. You know, that word desperate there is very key. A lot of us, it's because we lack desperation. That's why God does not manifest. A lot of us, we lack desperation. That's why God does not show on the scene on our behalf, because we have no desperation whatsoever. Nothing. We are very cavalier about things. We are so relaxed. We are so relaxed. We are people that are waiting but are not exercising any faith. we say that God knows, God is aware. God knows and is aware even before whatever you're going through happened. But it's those that come to me. How desperate is my situation and your situation today? Maybe it's even more desperate than we realize. I say maybe it's more desperate than we realize. And maybe some of us, it's because we have learned to cope, to adapt. This thing is bad. We need to be seeking God for it, but we've learned to cope with it. We have learned to adapt. That means we have learned to die slowly. We have learned to die gradually. This thing is throttling the life out of us. It's squeezing the life out of us. It's squeezing the joy out of us. But we have learned to cope with it. We have learned to adapt with it. What are we doing? Are we seeking the face of the Lord? Are we praying? Are we going to church? Are we fasting? Are we doing this? Are we doing that? This is what tells you. These are signs, if we're not doing anything, to say we've learned to cope and to adapt. We've decided to die slowly. Elijah made a different choice. I say he made a different decision. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This man of God, he sat down to pray. This man of God, he sat down to, I like that. He sat down. A lot of us, we don't have that wisdom to just sit down. When things are not happening, stop kicking, stop fighting, stop talking, stop emailing, stop WhatsApping, texting, all of this. Just stop, just sit down. This man of God sat down. He sat down to pray and he didn't rise until... He sat down to pray and it didn't rise until there was a sign. There was a sign. You sat down to pray. What made you to rise? You began to seek the Lord. What made you to stop? You began to pray. What has made you to stop? Can you see that? Sat down to pray and it didn't rise until there was a sign. The situation was so bad for Elijah that he didn't stop praying until God intervened or until God said something. Pastor KB in prayer was saying, we began to pray for revival. The Lord spoke about revival and we started to pray for revival. But are we still praying for revival? You see how different we are from Elijah. You see how different we are from Elijah. We have a touch and go mentality. We have a touch and go tendency. We prayed for different things to God at different times, whenever it's convenient and it suits us. As a result, we bring nothing to pass. Our prayers bring nothing to pass. Our faith brings nothing to pass because we have a touch and go tendency when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to spiritual matters. We have not learned to incubate in the Spirit. We have not learned to sit in the Spirit. Elijah, he sat and incubated something in the Spirit. This is why he was not bothered when he said to the man, to the servant, go and check. The boy came and said, there is nothing. He was not bothered because he knew he was sitting. He was in no hurry. He knew he was incubating. He was not bothered by there's nothing. He wasn't bothered by nothings. We are bothered when we are seeking God for something and nothing happens. We are very bothered when we're seeking God for something and nothing happens. When we're praying for something from the Lord and there seems to be no answer, we are very bothered. But worse than not being bothered, we give up. We stop. We start now praying for other things. And even for those things, we know they're not going to come to pass. See, now prayer has become tradition. Prayer has become a ritual. You see, a traditional ritualistic prayer cannot produce anything. It doesn't produce anything. There was no ritual in what Elijah began to do. He was desperate. This was a man in the horns, caught in the horns of dilemma. Caught in the horns of dilemma, and he said to himself, I am not going to stand up from here until you come through for me. That's it. I'm not going to stand up from here until you come through for me. Isaiah says, you who make mention of the Lord. This is what the prophet Isaiah says. He says, you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Do not keep silent. Why have you kept silent, child of God? Why is your closet so silent? Why is your seeking place so silent? And yet you have not achieved, and yet you have not attained, and yet you have not received an answer to your prayer. Why have you kept silent? Why are you sleeping so much when you have not received your breakthrough yet? Why are you sleeping so much? Why are you socializing so much? Why are you watching television and social media so much when you have not received your breakthrough yet? Why are you doing this thing? Why are you so much on your phone? TikTok. You sit on that thing for 3 hours on end. And when you finish, it's like you were there for 3 minutes. Why? You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. And give him no rest. Oh, my goodness. You take this to God. Say, Lord, it says, I must give you no rest. You open this scripture to God. Say, Lord, it's written. It says, I must give you no rest. And Lord, I am not going to stop. It says, I must not keep silent. So, Father, until you come through for me, I'm going to keep bothering you. I'm going to keep asking about this thing. I'm going to keep praying for this. I'm not going to stop. And you read it to him. This is what we're talking about. At least for us it is written, but for Elijah it wasn't. He decided because of the desperation of the hour, the desperation of the situation. I said the desperation of the hour, the desperation of the situation. And give him no rest till he establishes. Till he does it for you. Till he does it. That's what it means, till he establishes. Till God does for you what he has promised you in his word. Give him no rest till he establishes, till he does what is promised us in his word. Friends, it was easier for Elijah to speak and to stop the rain. It was easier for him to speak and to stop the rain than it was to speak for the rain to fall again after 3 years. No, it was easy to say, rain stopped, and the rain stopped. All right? And now it's been 3.5 years. And you just expose yourself, you just announce to the king that go and eat and drink, sir. Go have a party. Say, go have a party. Because there is an abundance of rain that is coming. And at that time, there's absolutely nothing. And you know, if the rain does not come, you know what is the king is going to do? He's going to instruct his army to go and get you and go and behead you in the presence of everyone. And don't forget, you just killed 850 prophets. If killing is that easy for you, so it's easy to kill you. You beheaded them. So we might as well behead you in the front of everyone because you are such a false prophet. It was a desperate situation for Elijah. It was not that easy. It was easier for him to announce that there will be no rain until at my word. And then they say, oh, we shall see. That's what they did. Oh, we shall see. But now when you come and say, rain is coming, go and eat and drink. And it's coming when? Today. This thing has got time on it. It's time bound. And the king is like, And oh my goodness, oh thank God for this. While he was still eating and drinking, before he finished eating, the word came. Tell the king to run, because he will not reach home. He was still eating. The instruction was to tell him, go eat and drink. He had not even finished yet. He was still feasting. And the word came. Go tell him. A breakthrough is sudden. The man is still eating, enjoying himself, and suddenly, please, sir, leave the table. Leave the table. Run for your life. Because the horse in the which you ride, you see, it was not like the German machines and that we're driving these days. That's why this prophet says, go tell him, lest the king be wet in the rain. Tell him to go home. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we are serving the same God today. I say we are calling on the same God today. It is the same God who has given us new birth in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. He is the same. He is the same God. He kept sending his servant repeatedly to look for a sign. He was a desperate man in a desperate situation. He kept sending him. This is a man who's got nothing to lose. Esther, if I die, I die. When you've got nothing to lose. He was a desperate man in a desperate situation. And he knew Elijah, the prophet, he knew that there was no other way, there was no other time for the Lord to come through for him than it was then. You know, when he said, Lord, if you don't come through for me in this, I lose everything. I lose everything. And begin to seek his face. Begin to seek his face. Put your mouth where your faith is. Begin to seek his face. I say, put your mouth where your faith is. And then you begin to seek him. You begin to look for excuses, for opportunities. When no one is around, you lock yourself up in your room and begin to speak to him. So you're looking for those opportunities. Desperate man in a desperate situation. Elijah was a man, friends, of faith and a tenacious spirit. Tenacious. You know the bulldogs, the pit bulls, once they grab, they never let go. Such was the faith of Elijah. Such was the spirit of that man. And such should be our faith and our spirit. I say such should be our faith and our spirit. Our desperate circumstances should provoke us to faith and to tenacity. Our desperate situations, the circumstances that we pass through, that we go through, should provoke us to faith and to tenacity. To say, Lord, I'm going to lay a hold on you. I'm not going to let go until you come through for me. Jacob, the Bible says, he wrestled with the man the whole night. And when it was daybreak, the man said, you have to let me. You have to release me because I have to go. And Jacob says, I will not let go of you. That's a tenacious spirit. I will not let go of you. Guess what? Until. Give him no rest until he establishes. Jacob says, I will not let go of you until you bless me. Some of us are too humble to ask God to bless us. We are too humble. We are too humble to say, Father, right now I need a blessing. Right now I need you to bless me. Father, right now I need for things to move in my life. Father, right now there is 1, 2, 3, and 4 and it's stuck, it's going nowhere. Some of us, we are too humble to ask the Lord to bless us, to prosper us, to give us success. No, we're too humble. I shall do no such thing. I'm a very righteous man. I'm a very righteous woman. I wait on God. You've been waiting. You have been waiting. And continue to wait. Continue to wait. That young man, he says, Lord, bless me. His name was here just now in Chronicles. And the Bible says the Lord heard his prayer and blessed him. The Lord heard his. And what did he ask for? What did he ask for? What did he ask for? If asking God to bless you was so wrong, why did he answer Jabez? If it's so wrong, so why did he answer Jabez? Because Jabez says, Lord, he was bold and courageous. He was confident. Say, Lord, bless me. And the Lord blessed him. And God answered exactly to the T, the prayer that he offered to the Lord. I say our desperate circumstances should provoke us to faith and to tenacity. Elijah kept saying to his servant, go again, go again, go again. He had an unrelenting, persistent spirit of faith. Go again. We have prayed, nothing has happened. Go again. They laid hands on you, nothing happened. Go again. Oh, ghost. I say, go again. The thing is, we are listening to a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that if they're teaching the truth. But please do not make someone else's experience to be your experience. Because they believe, they prayed to God once and it happened. Now you also want to pray to God once. No, don't make their experiences your experience. This is what I'm telling you, that for Elijah, it was not written, but the desperation. God understands a desperate spirit. He understands a desperate heart. He understands a desperate soul. You don't need to throw the book at God, in the face of God. Throw his Bible at him. Throw his Bible in his face. God sees a desperate spirit. I say, God sees a desperate spirit. Figzo. When you're desperate, it will speak louder than anything else. Louder. It's desperation. We like to talk about this, and not so long ago, we spoke about Hannah, a woman who was so desperate. So desperate. Lord, you come through for me. If I die, I die, Esther. Desperation. A sound of desperation. A cry of desperation, a prayer of desperation, a seeking of desperation, a fasting of desperation, a coming to church of desperation, a listening to the message of desperation, a worship, a praise of desperation, born of desperation. Now you're going to see God. How desperate are you? Desperate are you? How desperate are you? When do we consecrate a day of prayer to come meet together? When? When do we consecrate? And when you consecrate that day of prayer, it'll only be this column that will be there. But Sunday, it will be everyone. Why? Because people are not desperate and yet they've got very desperate situations. Makes no sense. It makes no sense to God. It makes no sense to God that there was no man praying, there was no man seeking his face, that God would show up. Even as it makes no sense with God. You are in such a deep mess, but you're not desperate. You're very casual about it. You're very casual about it. You're good about it. You say, Lord, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He knows everything. So which one are you talking about? He knows everything. He knows everything. Friends, here's a man who was faced with a situation that none of us would ever have to face in all of lifetime. Here's a man who was faced with a situation that not even a single one of us here would ever have to face in all of lifetime. And yet this man did not give up. This man did not give up. What are you facing compared to what he faced? And yet he did not give up. He didn't give, not give up. He wasn't fighting demons. He wasn't fighting devils. He was seeking an answer from the Lord. We have fought demons. We have fought devils. We have done all of these things. We have fought the devil himself. We have held him by the horns that he doesn't have. No, go to God. God, the one to fight for you is God, not you. Leave the devils, leave the demons alone. Go to God. Go to God. He did not give up, this man of God. He kept on believing. He kept on believing. He kept on believing. And James, he tells us in the scriptures that Elijah was no different than us. He was no different than us. He was exactly like us. And so we too can and we should operate at the faith of this man, at the kind of faith of this man. If he was no different, if James tells us he was no different from us, what is James telling you? You can and you should operate at this kind of faith, at the level of this kind of faith. This is the faith that when it holds on to God, it does not let go until God responds. That's the reason why James was making that comparison. He was teaching about faith. I mean, go to the book of James chapter number 5 from verse number 17. He was teaching about that. He says, you can and you should operate at the level of this kind of faith. The undeniable, unshakable faith. I say the undeniable, the unshakable faith. We are going through difficult times, difficult circumstances. Like 31 would say, see ya, go, we shall. But what are we doing about it? It, the movie. What are we doing about it? We are quick to ask for help. But let me teach you today, you should be quicker to pray than you are to ask for help. You should be quicker to seek God than you are to ask for help. Quicker. Quicker to pray. Elijah would have opted never to rise from the position of prayer. Elijah would have opted never to rise from the position of prayer had the Lord not come through for him. He would have opted never ever to rise had the Lord not come through for him. Lines were drawn here. In the spirit. There were lines drawn in the spirit. You don't come through for me, I'll die in this position. I'm not going to stand up to eat. I'm not going to stand up to drink. I'm not going to stand up to do anything. I'm going to die like this. Lines were drawn in the spirit. If it needed be, this man would have never stood up from that position of prayer. Never. You don't necessarily have to do it physically. But it's a spiritual posture. Posture. Never let go. Never let, Lord, never let go. I will never let go. I heard Pastor Pepe saying, I wasn't here, but he was saying that Pastor Fence was leading a prayer this morning saying, the Lord saying, will he find faith? This is what we're talking about. Will he indeed find faith? This is what we are talking about. He found faith in Elijah. And that's why he could come through for him. And that's why Elijah could be such a vessel that the Lord could use so easily. Hallelujah. May we, by the grace of God, never rise from our position of prayer until the Lord has answered us. I say, may we, by the grace of God, never rise. Never rise from our position of prayer until the Lord has answered. No matter what it takes to seek him. There's a situation. There's a problem. There is a predicament. Why did the Lord, I'm closing with this. Why did the Lord not come through for Elijah the first time that he prayed? Come on, try to reason. You know, sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, you know, listen to the word of God, try to reason it out in your spirit. Why did the Lord not come through for Elijah the first time that he prayed? Why did the Lord not come through for him? You know what this is an answer to? To a lot of our lives. To a lot of our prayer lives. That God does not necessarily answer you with manifestations. Remember, he hears you the first time. God heard Elijah the first time, but the evidence was not there the first time. This is to tell you that God can hear you well, well, but God can delay the answer. Not because it's punishing you, not because you are a bad person, not because you keep on stealing cookies from your mommy's jar. No. But these are spiritual principles. Sometimes God could do this. I'm supposing right now. Sometimes the Lord could do this because he wants to see how serious you really are about this thing. He wants to see if you are really desperate. And that is key, friends. That is key. anything we receive because we are very serious about it, because we are desperate about it, we treasure it when we have it. Sometimes the Lord delays the answer so that you would treasure the answer when the answer comes. You treasure it. So he delays it. He delays it. The same thing when people get things for free. How do they treat them? You don't pay for me to preach. That's why you don't take seriously what I say. But if you're paying 500 rands to hear me preach, you take it very seriously. You see, human beings, and God knows we're human. So he delays because we're human. Just to see if you're desperate about this, if you're really serious about this, and to make sure that when you get the answer, the solution from him, you will really treasure him and, treasure it and give him the glory. You pray it comes, you don't treasure it, you don't give God the glory. What's the point? Because the purpose for God coming through for you is so that you would glorify him. Whatever he does is for free, but so that he would glorify him. Let us stand up for prayer today.